Welcome to the My Money Podcast number 8 from helpmetosave.com. I'm Karen Bryan, the editor of Help Me to Save, where you'll find tips on how to save more to get the life that you want. In this edition of the My Money Podcast, I'll be offering you 10 great tips on how to be frugal. Now, these tips come from 5 personal finance bloggers who are taking part in a live discussion this week on frugality. I asked them all to email me their 3 top frugal tips, and I've collated and blended them here to come up with 10 top tips on how to be frugal. Now, I'll just quickly run through the tips and then give a bit more detail. The first one is budgeting, which is the crucial first step to being frugal. And then it's concentrating on the biggies. Obviously, there's more possibility of saving money by concentrating on cutting back on your major expenses. And then another way to be frugal is to share skills with friends and families and do things yourself. Then you can save on food by planning meals and shopping. Another way to be frugal is to recognize and control your spending triggers. But the whole point of being frugal is to get more from your money, not to waste. There's also the element of quality of life. So if you're being frugal, you still need to think about what quality of life you want to attain. A good way to save money is to swap clothes, also known as swishing. And of course, the old chestnut of shopping around for the best deals. Always doing a bit of legwork and research, not just renewing with your current supplier for insurance, gas, electricity, broadband. Now, preparing for Christmas spending can be quite important, as Christmas is one of these times of years when it's very easy to overspend. Obviously, if you can make the most of free services, then you're going to spend less money, especially if you can do things you enjoy without spending money. And the final tip is to make sure that you're using your tax allowances. So, as I mentioned, being frugal is really about stretching your money as far as you can, getting the most out of your cash, not frittering money away, not wasting. So, in order to get to grips with your money, you really have to make a budget. You need to know exactly what money is coming into your household every month and going out. There are different methods of preparing a budget. I'm afraid I still like my little notebook that I can just refer to. I don't need to have the computer switched on. Some people like to use spreadsheets, specific applications, really whatever works for you. But do remember to be realistic when working out your budget, especially for things like holidays, Christmas, nights out. I mean, you might think, oh, probably spend 20, 30 quid a week going out, but that might just be for a meal and a few drinks. You've maybe forgotten that you paid £10 for your taxi home one night. Just making sure it's a realistic budget. And moving on to specifics in the budget, if you can concentrate on the biggies, obviously if you can cut back on spending and your major expenses, then you're going to get more from your money. So most people's major expenses are things like housing, motoring. So for example, if you move to a smaller house and or a cheaper area, you could not only save money on lower rent or mortgage repayments, but also on council tax and heating. If you paid off your mortgage, you could save thousands of pounds in interest charges. And if you kept your current car, your old car, for another 2 or 3 years, you could avoid losing money through depreciation. Now, another way to be frugal is to share skills and DIY. You can learn to do some tasks yourself and pool other skills together with family and friends. For example, plumbing. Well, it'd be good if you knew a plumber for sure. Hairdressing, gardening, just things like that to save on expensive bills. I cut my own hair, but I'm not sure my friends would want to let me loose with scissors on their hair. And I wouldn't really feel happy cutting people's hair either, even if it saved them money if they weren't happy with the result. We also clean our own windows at home, and I do my own accounts. It's not really that difficult doing accounts. My problem is being organised and keeping all my receipts neatly during the year. So even if I'd paid an accountant, I'd still have to produce all the material in an orderly fashion to give to the accountant. So I save a couple of £100 doing my own accounts. It only takes me half a day or something. Now, as in the UK, we do seem to waste and spend a lot of money on meals and shopping. So to try and avoid food waste, plan your meals for the next few days for the week before you do your shopping, and always keep an eye on the dates of perishable foods that you're using them by the end date. You can try using shops' own brands, even their value brands, because they can be quite a bit cheaper. Some are awful. I mean, I've had tomato ketchup that was so vinegary and diluted, well, watery. It was just awful. But I did a recipe challenge with Morrison's M Savers ingredients recently, and the quality of the ingredients was all very good. You can also do grocery shopping online. This avoids the temptation of seeing things at the shop and saves you actually physically going to the shop, although there's often a £3, £4, £5 delivery charge. The My Supermarket price comparison site compares prices over 4 major supermarkets in the UK and comes up with where your shopping basket will be cheapest. It also suggests substitute products if something's on offer. You might get 2 for the price of 1 to get better value. Another way to save on food is to take your lunch to work so you don't go out to a cafe or a baker's or anything. Now, trying to know yourself and recognise and control your spending triggers can also help you be frugal. Try to think about what triggers your overspending. Is it maybe when you're feeling low in winter and going to book a holiday? Is it when you're happy you feel like going online or going out and spending money? Or do you maybe spend in order to supposedly save? You see bargains and you think, oh yeah, that's a good way to save money. But if you don't really need that item, you're spending money unnecessarily, even if you're supposedly saving on the list price. If you can recognise these triggers, you can prepare to have diversionary tactics in place. Instead of shopping and spending money, you could do something that you would still enjoy and that might even earn you money. A couple of examples are to try your hand at blogging. If there's a specific topic you're interested in, you know a lot about, you've got a strong opinion on, you could start writing a blog. That you would enjoy that. It might become addictive. You might even start to make money from it. Creative outlet. Or you could do some kind of crafty things. Say make Christmas cards, birthday cards. And they would be personalised, which I'm sure the recipient would appreciate. Now, trying to think about quality of life in alignment with frugality, to me, is quite important. Because, yes, you want to get the most from your money, but being frugal, yeah, are you going to starve yourself, never turn on the heating, never go for days out, just do nothing in order to save money? That's not exactly the point. It's trying to get the most from your money, not waste things, not fritter it away. So if you can keep on top of your money and do creative cutbacks on things that don't really make that much impact on your life, so you don't end up losing out on quality of life in drastic cutbacks. If you ignore the fact that your household books don't balance, you're spending more than you're earning, the problem's only going to multiply, because you'll begin to get into debt, higher interest payments on your debt, and then you might have to make really serious cutbacks. Whereas if you're keeping on control of things and thinking about what's important to you for your quality of life, because obviously it's going to be different to different people. Some people might like to live in the countryside to have the fresh air and peace and quiet. Other people would hate that. They'd rather be in the city with the buzz and everything. So it's really up to you to think what is most important for your quality of life and how can you preserve that within budget. Now, some people like their new outfits, stay trendy, be seen in different clothes all the time, which can be very expensive. But one way around this is to try and do some swishing, clothes swapping. Now, you could have a party where everybody who comes brings a few items with them, and it's socializing, it's fun, and you might be able to pick up some outfits that you like. Because if we're honest, most women have some clothes lurking in the back of their wardrobe that are virtually unworn. Maybe they don't fit them now, that weren't quite right even at the time, and they could appeal to someone else. So why not arrange a swishing party? Now, the old chestnut about shopping around for the best deals is still very true. You have to put in a bit of effort here. Do spend a bit of time on some price comparison sites, but do remember that not all suppliers are included in price comparison sites. Some don't want to pay the commission. So it's always worth contacting some firms directly. And also, it gives you a negotiating tool with your current supplier. If you've done some research and you know what deals are on offer, you can contact your supplier and ask them for a discount because you're thinking about moving. You've seen one of the competitors has a better deal. I've done this recently with BT. Unfortunately, where we live, it's a semi-rural area, so we don't have a good choice of broadband providers. We're kind of stuck with BT, but I managed to get a 15% discount from BT by phoning them, and that saves me around £90 a year. So for a phone call that took me, say, 15-20 minutes, £90, it's a pretty good return on investment. As I mentioned earlier, Christmas can be a big stumbling block for the budget. There are different ways to approach this. Again, it depends on your personal circumstances and preferences. You can just discuss with family and friends that, you know, ditch the present swapping, maybe just give presents to kids. You can put money aside. Now, rather than the conventional Christmas club, where your money doesn't get any interest and you're restricted to buying goods at specific shops, some building societies, for example, Yorkshire, offer a Christmas saver account, which has a pretty decent fixed interest rate of 3.5%. for balances up to £1,200. So you can put in so much a month or whenever, and then there are penalties if you withdraw the money before the 1st of December. So your money's getting interest and it's not easy to get into it to fritter it away. So that could work for some people. The downside to that is if you see good bargains, reductions earlier than December, you don't have access to the money. So you just have to think about what's going to work best for you to prepare for Christmas spending. Now, if you can make the most of free services, obviously you'll be able to spend less. In the UK, state museums are free to enter, although sometimes you have to pay for special exhibitions. And they're a great weatherproof day out for the family. Lots of museums now have interactive hands-on sections for the kids, so it's not just, you know, they do enjoy it on the whole. And why buy books when you can borrow them at your local library or even get a free download to your Kindle? And the final tip on being frugal is to make sure that you're using your tax allowances. If you do have some savings, make sure that you're using the cash ISA annual limit. In the UK, every adult aged 16 and over can put each tax year a certain amount of money in, which they don't have to pay tax on the interest. So this year's allowance is £5,340. So if you have some money in a savings account, why not shift it to a cash ISA, so at least you'll avoid paying interest on the tax. So I do hope that you've enjoyed our 10 top tips on being frugal, and a big thank you to the panellists for their contributions. That's Emma Brin-Jones of Zero Credit, Becky Goddard-Hill of Family Budgeting, Cass Bailey of Diary of a Frugal Family, Donald Souter of Money Saving Challenge, and Damon Fay of Money to the Masses. You can read the article in full on helpmetosave.com. Thank you for listening to this edition of the My Money podcast, and do join us again soon. You can also subscribe to the free monthly Money Saver newsletter on the site to receive more money saving tips. Goodbye.